previously on Pastor Bates' sermon series, Do Something, he talked to us about the fact that we want to be a word and deed church, that we have to center what we do around the Word of God, that that forms the principles by which we live our lives and the skeleton through which we add the value systems that we hold dear. Last week we talked about the fact that in addition to the faith that we have and enjoying the grace that we have received through Christ, we also have a responsibility to reach out to the people around about us and do something about it. That we have a responsibility to see the individuals around us who have emotional and physical and relationship needs and to be responsible about trying to help them, not in such a way that we enable them by giving them a handout, but by offering them a hand and walking alongside them to help them through whatever need that they might have in their life. Today, in the third part of this series, we want to talk about some specifics. How do we reach out in the name of Jesus and help individuals? If you would like to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews, as we know, is sometimes called the New Testament book of the Old Testament. It is the book that talks about the movement from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, from the Old Law to the New Law. It talks about Christ being the fulfillment of the law. And in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 1, it says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the reality itself. And then he goes on to quote the psalmist, and in verse 8, he says, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you didn't desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to me. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first, the old law, to establish the second, the law fulfilled in Christ. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So after talking to us about our salvation experience and about how Christ has fulfilled the law, he comes to verse 19, and I want to read you from a section from 19 through 25. Where he says, now this is what I want you to do about that. So let's pick up the story in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, not the old law, a new and living way, open for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, now he tells us what that means. Verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now in verses 19, 20, and 21, he says, now we have confidence to enter this most holy place. Why do we have that confidence? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed that you and I might enter into the very presence of God. Not just the high priest one time a year, but that you and I might enter into the presence of the Lord. And there is something wonderful and sweet about the ability to enter into the presence of the Lord and know that he hears us and understands us and has great sympathy and love and showers us with his blessings. And then he says to us, we can do this because this new way has been opened up by his sacrifice. Now, beginning at verse 22, he gives us four commands or four suggestions or four understandings of how a believer should act since we have now come into the presence of God. Let me quote them for you, or let's read them for you. Verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. So the first thing that he says to us is we've got to draw near to God, his presence. That's entering into the presence of God. Verse 22 and 23, he says, have hold fast to your faith to your belief. You've got to hold fast to the word of God, to your faith in Christ as your Savior. In verse 23, he says, by the way, he enters into each one of these with let us. This is not a singular command. He's not saying some people should do this and others don't have to. He's saying let us. This is the body. This is the faith built, the people. This is the church, what we would say today. Let us, verse 23. Verse 24, let us consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. That's the favorite verse of the pastors, because they can beat you over the head with that. You know, when you don't show up for church, hey, it says in Hebrews 10:25, don't forget to come to church. But I don't want to talk about that today. We want to talk only about one of these four commands for us, and that is the third one. Let us consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. I'm talking to the family today. I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to those who have been sprinkled with the blood of Christ and now stand accepted and loved by him. What should we now do? And again, we're only going to deal with this one section. Let us consider how we might spur one another on to love and good deeds. You were not put here on earth just to take up space and consume tangible things and be worm food when you die. You were put here by God to serve. And part of the way that we serve God is by serving other people in the name of Jesus. Do you know that you're a minister? Now, when I say that, sometimes we think of a pastor or a priest, and we think of those individuals that might have a high collar or a robe or talk in preacher talk, now I say unto you, that kind of stuff, you know. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a minister. What is a minister? And as we read through the New Testament, we find that when we come into a relationship with Christ, we are all ministers of his grace. Not all of you will be a pastor or a priest, but a minister is simply someone who helps another person in the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus. And any time you use your talents or your abilities or your gifts or experiences to help another person in the name of Jesus, you are ministering to them in the way that God has ministered to us. And the Bible says we've got to spur one another on to love and good deeds. We have to spur one another on to help us understand our responsibility to serve one another. And we think about this. We look at the example that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be what? Served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, you and I can't die for the sins of the world. Of course not. But it says Jesus, the Son of God, came down to us, and rather than saying, okay, everybody serve me, he's saying, I am willing to be an example, and I am going to reach out, and I am going to serve other people. What does it mean to serve in the name of Jesus? What does it mean to serve like Jesus served? Let me give you a few thoughts on that. Serving like Jesus means being available. It just begins by being available. You know, if we study the story of the Gospels and we look at the life of Jesus and we see how he went through his time here on this earth, we find an interesting fact. He was constantly interrupted. You like to be interrupted? I don't. He was constantly being interrupted. He's on his way to a meal. Somebody's tugging at his robe. He's walking down the street. Somebody says, come and see my relative who has a problem. He's at a wedding feast, enjoying himself. Here comes mom, interrupting him. Hey, can you take care of this favor for me? He's sleeping in a boat. enjoying a nap, here comes the fisherman to interrupt him. By the way, I heard something this week. It has nothing to do with this message. I just heard it. So it said that maybe one of the reasons that a lot of people have trouble believing the miracles of God is that they were all attested by fishermen. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not. Sorry about that, fishermen. But we have a reputation for expanding a little bit on the truth. So we are constantly interrupted. Jesus said, "Let the blind and the lame and the weary come to me." He was interrupted so much, he even got up early in the morning and went out alone with the Father to pray, because he knew that might be the only time during the day that he would have that opportunity. Now, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 28, "Never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now." There is never a convenient time to serve. There's always going to be other things to do, places to go, people to see. If you want to serve people in the name of Jesus, you've got to be prepared to be interrupted. Servant-hearted people are sensitive to the needs of others. And Chip, who's on vacation today, but Chip has a little phrase that he uses often, which is a great phrase, and he says, "Help us to walk slowly through the crowd." Now, when you walk slowly through the crowd, you begin to see the needs of people. When we rush by without paying any attention, we say, "I didn't know anything about that." But when we walk slowly to the crowd and we are sensitized, we will discover all kinds of needs all around us. Most of us have a big sign that we hold up in our life. And this is what it says: "Do not disturb me. I have my own agenda. I have my own time. I have my own places that I want to go. I have my own things that I need to do. I have my own finances that I need to control. Don't disturb me." Now, obviously, we don't wear this around about us, and we don't even verbalize it. But by our actions, we say, "Do not disturb me. I got things I need to do. I can't be bothered. I got a nice little life going here. I don't have time to help you. Don't disturb me." There are some barriers to being available to serve. We talked about one of those barriers last week, which was self-centeredness. We don't want our Christianity to just be about us. Obviously, it begins with us when we come into a relationship with God through Christ, but we have to move forward from there. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand." Several years ago, Byron, I'm not sure if you were on this trip or not. I think maybe you were. Several years ago, we took a trip to Honduras, and that was 15 or 20 of us, and we were to fly out of Miami. And so in order to save some money, we chose the cheapest available flight on the cheapest available airline. It was El Cheapo Airlines. I don't know whether you've ever heard of it or not. When we got to Miami, we discovered there weren't enough people on the plane to fly to Honduras. And so, like El Cheapo Airlines would do, they said, "We're not flying. We don't have a full plane. You're going to have to wait till tomorrow." Now, can you imagine Delta or somebody doing that? But again, this is a different scenario. And so here we are, stuck in Miami with nothing to do for 24 hours. And so after we complained appropriately enough, they said, "Here's what we'll do. We'll put you up in a hotel for the night." There was a hotel in the airport. "We're going to give you $50 worth of vouchers." Now, we had already eaten that night. "We're going to give you $50 worth of vouchers tonight." Darrell, were you on that trip? And so Rick Koontz was my roommate on that one. And so here we are going to Honduras to serve needy people. Here we are prepared to sacrifice, sleep on the floor, eat whatever was put in front of us. And we get to Miami, and you know what happens? We're in a 4-star motel with $50 in food vouchers, even though we'd already eaten. So we said, "What are we going to do?" Byron remembers this. So we said, let's go get some hot dogs, hamburgers. That's why we got to spend this money. So after we had eaten our second meal of the night, we decided to, Rick and I went upstairs, and I'll blame it on Rick. And Rick said to me, let's order room service. Hey, good idea. How about some pie? Good. A la mode, of course. And so we had room service come in. We get up the next morning, and we still got money left on our vouchers. So we go downstairs, and there's this big tray of pastries in front of us. And we said, I will take a couple of those. I tell you what, how much money we got left? We'll take the whole tray. And we took the whole tray of pastries. After we gathered in the terminal to fly to Honduras, we began to talk about our experiences. And we began to talk about how easy it is to move from service to self-centeredness. How easy it is to forget other people and concentrate on me. How easy it is to say, wow, everything, I'm going to take everything I can get. And we had to have a little time of confessional there. We didn't have a priest with us, but we had a little confessional time there. And we recognized that within a short span of time, we had gone from being someone that was willing to serve to someone who wanted to be served. Perfectionism keeps you from being available. We're living in a time when excellence is not only a desired quality, but it's almost a necessity. And it bleeds over into our church life. Now here's the truth when you read the Gospels. Servants don't wait until everything is absolutely right before they serve. Servants just serve. They do the best they can with what they have. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't strive to do our best. Obviously, we should. But we don't worship perfection. We worship God. And what God has to work with here at Bayside is a bunch of imperfect people that want to do the right thing, but yet none of us have exactly the right answers to everything. There isn't enough superstars to go around. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4 says this, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. I think that's true in business. I think it's true in relationships. I think it's true in the church. If you waited for all the lights to turn green before you left your house to drive over here today, you wouldn't be here. You ever watch Superman when you were a kid? Or maybe last week? Superman's perfect. He's got a full-time job. He takes care of all the crime in the community. He's got this big red, muscular guy. Got this big red S on his chest, you know? If I were thinking about that for me, I'd have a lowercase b on my chest. He's got this big S. And we say, man, I want to be Superman. This guy can do anything, everything better than anybody else. Well, you're not Superman. Quit trying to look smarter and act more spiritual than everybody around you and just serve. Second thing I would say here. Serving like Jesus is a privilege and not a punishment. Because we have such a high need for volunteers in the church, I can put on a heavy-duty guilt on people if I need to. But I don't want to do that. That's not biblical to begin with. We don't want to do that. We want you to serve not because you feel pressured or trapped or used or all those kind. We want you to serve because you love Jesus. And when you love Jesus, the motivation to serve is not to please me or Chip or somebody else. It's just to be a servant of Jesus. It's just to be his hands and his eyes and reaching out to the people around about us. We don't serve because we have to. We serve because it is a privilege to serve a living Savior. And if we aren't careful, our motivation for serving can get out of whack. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, Jesus says, when you do your good deeds, don't try to show off. If you do, you won't get a reward from your Father in heaven. We don't serve to show off our good deeds. We don't serve for self-promotion. They don't mix. We don't serve so other people would like us. We don't serve as a bargaining chip with God. You know, God, I spent 3 weeks with the middle schoolers. I deserve some special attention here. We don't bargain with God. We just serve because we love. It's an opportunity to show forth the love of God to others and to advance His kingdom. That's it. That's why we serve. And when we have that kind of an attitude, we don't get miffed when we don't get noticed. We don't go into a pout because somebody doesn't give us some recognition. We just serve out of gratitude for what Christ has done for us. And when we lose our sense of understanding of verses 19 through 21, the rest of this passage falls apart. Serving like Jesus means you're a faithful servant. Jesus is looking for faithful people. It means you don't give up. You keep going even when you find barriers. You keep going even when it's difficult and you don't get recognition. In John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of Christ, as he was getting ready to leave his disciples, he said this in verse 4. As he prayed to God the Father, he says, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do." Wouldn't that be a great epitaph when you die? God, I have brought you glory by completing what you asked me to do. Not necessarily what your earthly achievements have been. Those are good. But God, I have brought you glory because I have achieved what you have asked me to do. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And obviously we know his greatest service was dying for our sins. What motivates you to be faithful over the long haul? People are going to irritate you. It's not always going to go your way. In fact, sometimes people probably criticize you if you're serving. But certainly our hope of heaven is a very strong motivator. But that's not really what we're doing, serving for, because that's not have nothing to do with our eternal life in Christ. But when you're willing to serve others in the name of Christ, everything that you do in life really matters. Listen to the promise of God when you minister in the name of Jesus from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. Jesus puts it this way. Even if you give a cup of cold water in my name, which is a fairly menial task, I'm going to bless you. Did you get that? Nothing you do for him is ever wasted. If it is done in the name of Jesus, it counts. If you change a diaper in the nursery so a mother can be in church, it really matters. If you fold a bulletin, sweep the floor, take a can of food to a needy person, visit a shut-in, teach a Sunday school class, sing in the choir, it all counts if you do it in the name of Jesus. Serving others in the name of Jesus gives your life significance. And when you are willing to serve others in the name of Jesus, we know for certain that whatever we do counts. Maybe we need to change our sign. Instead of having a sign that says, "Do not disturb," maybe we need to live a life that says, "How can I serve you? How can I serve you in the name of Jesus? Can I give you a cup of cold water, a sandwich, an encouragement, a pat on the back, a prayer, a letter? What can we do to serve you?" That means your life really matters. Now, as we conclude this time together, I need to ask you one more question. What are you going to do about it? What can you do this week to serve someone in the name of Jesus? Not to get recognized, not so I'll know about it. What can you do this week? Who can you touch? Who can you encourage? Who can you bless? Who can you show forth the love of Christ in the name of Jesus to this week? God, our Father, you constantly challenge us with your word. Here we are living this nice, comfortable life, and you come along and say to us, Tom, I need you to be serving people, not being served. I need you to reach out, not take in. I need you to go, not come and sit. And Father, as we contemplate these principles that you have given us, let us spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us be responsible people in the kingdom of God. Let us be thankful for what you have done for us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let us remember your covenant relationship with us as your children. Let us reach out to those around about us who are in need and show forth the love of Jesus this week. Amen.